Now, having made that point about commending the study of Hinduism to you for the future, there are two more points that I want to make about it, because they have to do with how it will contrast with other religions when we get to them. And one of those comes from the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very popular work among common people. And it has a story in it that's very revealing of how Hinduism bears on moral attitudes. And it has to do with Arjuna, who is in command of an army, and he's about to go out and fight. And he has terrible misgivings about all of the people who are going to be killed. And he cries out to Krishna for some help, some advice. And it reads this way: Krishna, as I behold, come here to shed their common blood. You concourse of our kin, my members fail, my tongue dries in my mouth, a shudder thrills my body, and my hair bristles with horror. Hardly I can stand. What rich spoils could profit? What rule recompense? What span of life seems sweet bought with such blood? Seeing that these stand here ready to die, and for whose sake was life was fair and pleasure, and power grew precious, these people, grandsires, sires, sons, brothers, fathers-in-law, sons-in-law, elders and friends. So speaking, in the face of these two armies, Arjuna sank upon his chariot seat and let the bows and arrows fall, sick at heart. Now, what would you expect Krishna's answer to be? Well, it comes something as a surprise, perhaps. You are grieving where no grief should be. You speak words that lack wisdom. For the wise heart, don't mourn for these that live or die. Nor I, nor you, nor any of these, nor ever was, nor ever will be. Or all that lives, lives forever. Learn this: life is spreading life through all. But for these fleeting frames, which it informs with spirit deathless, infinite and infinite, they perish. Let them perish. Prince, rise and fight. He who shall say, look, I killed someone, and who shall think, oh, I'm killed, these both know nothing. Life cannot slay. Life cannot be killed. So the advice is, this world is only illusory. The real life, the reality behind all this, is not going to be affected. So go to it. Get into that war. Kill those people. It's a bit surprising from the standpoint of the Abrahamic religions. And finally, I want to mention one other thing that is very typical of Hindu practice, and that is that the priests and the monks take a very tolerant attitude toward the great religious diversity in India and outside India, both. The attitude is, suppose that we have people that are actually animists. There's a local village in a remote area, and they're worshipping spirits in the trees and the rocks and stuff like that. And a Brahmin priest will come by and participate in their rituals and bless them. The idea behind it is this: these people are doing the best they can with the religious insight that they have at this level of incarnation, of reincarnation. And maybe at the next level they'll be capable of greater spiritual insight, and greater until finally they're reborn as Brahmins, and then they'll see what we know. So they take this attitude of great tolerance, because they look upon those other religions as people just doing the best they can with what they're capable of doing. And they look upon other religions that way too. They look upon Judaism, Christianity, and Islam as inferior stages of religious insight, which given enough time and enough rebirths, a person will outlive, outgrow, and achieve new insights until they come to the level of knowledge of a Brahmin, and they know Brahmanatman is the only reality, and then they escape the wheel of rebirth and achieve nirvana. So this is a very brief has been a very brief introduction to Hinduism, and we will close with this, and next session we will begin our brief introduction to Buddhism.